If you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, we will take a look at the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. I read recently of a young man who said that he had been infected by loose notions in religion. And this led to all kinds of things in his life, of course. And accidentally, he read these next few verses that we're going to read together. He read them in a Bible. And he says he observed such a divinity in the argument and such majesty in the style that his flesh trembled. And he was struck into such an amazement that for a whole day he scarcely knew where he was or what he did. And from that point, he dates his own new life in Christ. Just from the reading of these next few verses that we are going to read together, his life was transformed by what he read and the person that he met in these words. That young man, by the way, his name was Junius. He lived in ancient Rome. And I have received on this trip a similar letter from a young man in Boulder who told me what committing his life to Jesus Christ had meant, and it was practically identical to this. So through the ages, the changeless Christ revolutionizes the hearts of men. And so tonight, let's take a brief look at him. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Lest we have any confusion as to what is meant by the Word or who is meant by the Word, look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was Christ, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As a cross-reference, as I did this study, I cross-referenced it with 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles back to 1 John, or if you're taking notes, which I assume most of you will be doing during the conference, as a cross-reference to that, jot down 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. And this verse has to be read with just a degree of awe as you read this verse, or actually the first two verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and which was manifested unto us. This is the Apostle John, the one who walked with Jesus Christ and talked with him. And he is reflecting now about his experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and which was manifested unto us. Another good cross-reference is Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2. This is an excellent cross-reference to this particular passage, the first verse. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You see, Jesus Christ, as God's Word, reveals to us what is in God's heart. He communicates the loving heart of God to us. And therefore, another cross-reference, Matthew 17:5, Almighty God speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son, therefore hear him. This is the one that we must listen to. My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It says, the same was in the beginning with God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. God has spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Another good verse on this is John chapter 17, verses 3 through 5. John chapter 17. This is Jesus Christ Himself speaking. And this is life eternal. Do you want to know what eternal life is? And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn to that, beginning reading in verse 14. Colossians chapter 1. Speaking of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made, and in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Or 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Some of you new Christians, here's the first verse you memorized, many of you. 1 John 5, 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Why? Because in Him was life. And when Jesus Christ says, and I give unto them eternal life, how can He do that? Because He is eternal, and therefore He can bestow eternal life upon man. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And how many times have you heard, and maybe this is your own testimony, how that before you became a Christian, you were disoriented. You weren't quite sure where you were going or what you were doing, and life seemed to be such a maze and such a confusion. And then when you came to Christ, the light was on, and you were oriented, and you knew where you were going and what you were doing, and you could see your way. Obviously, you were now in touch with the light of life, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Life. Light. Hebrews 2:15. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. He has delivered us from the power of death. Death. All their lifetime subject to fear of death. And then Colossians 1:13. Who delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the Son of His love. Death and darkness men living under the power of these, men living under the power of death, and men living under the power of darkness. And Jesus Christ gives life for death. He gives light for darkness. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a brand new person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And on this little trip that Dan and I have had the privilege of taking through Jack's division here, and speaking to people, we have watched men become new, brand new in Christ, because of encounter with Him. Then in verse 10, there's a puzzling statement in chapter 1 of John. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Now, when I did this study, I jotted down, as I usually do when I do my Bible study, in the margins of my Bible, I write things, and I write scripture verses, and I write comments and observations that God gives me. And beside that verse, beside verse 10, I wrote, Did not know Him. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And I jotted down an Old Testament scripture. Did not know Him. Why, even the ox knows his owner. Even an ox knows his owner. But He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the high privilege to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What must I believe? I must believe on His name. What must I receive? I must receive Him. If I receive Him into my life, what will I become? I will become a child of God, which is born. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. Not of blood. You don't inherit this. Some of you come from godly homes, God-fearing parents. That does not make you a Christian. It is not of blood. You do not inherit this. Nor the will of the flesh. It is not by human effort. Not by the will of man. I can't do it for you, and your best friend can't do it for you. Only God. We must be born of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son to redeem us, the Bible says. How? Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God showed forth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. What else is there to do? Who else is there to proclaim? What other message is in the world that is worth proclaiming, that is worth giving my life to? Nothing. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. Naturally. Now let me give you four verses to remember. And if you don't have these verses memorized, I suggest that you, the possibility of just looking them over and memorizing them. The first one is John chapter 10, verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay myself down for you. Now many of you know the great song written by those two beautiful poets, Simon and Garfunkel, where he talks about Jesus Christ as the bridge over troubled waters, the one who laid himself down for us. As you probably well know, when Paul Simon was interviewed by Johnny Carson on television and asked, who are you talking about as the bridge over troubled waters? Who is this one who, when you're down and out or when you're on the street or when you need a friend, I will comfort you. I will lay me down for you. Who is that? And Paul Simon said, well, Jesus Christ. Of course it's Jesus Christ. Who else has laid himself down for us? Who, when we need a friend, who will comfort us? Who, when we're down and out? Jesus Christ, of course. So naturally, we proclaim Christ. I lay myself down for you, like a bridge over very, very troubled waters. He laid himself down. And I don't know what more a person can do than to lay down for you. From one of the oldest libraries in the world, a story is recorded about two young men who were climbing around in an old cathedral. And they were high up. And it was an old one, and the beam broke. And the two of them plunged. And miraculously, one of them grabbed another beam and hung on. And his brother, who was climbing with him, grabbed his foot and hung on to him miraculously. And there they hung. And so they struggled and tried to pull up, and they couldn't do it. And finally, the older brother, who was hanging on this brother's foot, said, If I were not here, if you didn't have my weight, do you think you could make it? And without thinking, the kid said, I think I could. And he said, well, then God bless you. And he plunged to his death and gave his life for his brother. Jesus Christ laid himself down for you. He gave his life for you that you might have eternal life, that you might live, because in him is life. And the life is the light of men. He laid himself down. I give myself. I lay down my life for you. The second verse is John chapter 3, verse 16. Some of you may know this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now the reason why that verse has lost its punch is because nobody believes or understands or reflects upon what it says. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The story is told about a man who was going down a railroad track, and he had his son with him, his little boy. And they were walking along, and the man saw a broken rail. And there was a rod or a pipe over here that he felt he could put that baby back there if he could just have the time, because he knew a passenger train was coming. And so he worked furiously and struggled with that rail to get it back so that it would be even and level with it, so that the train could go over without damage and without wrecking the train. Because right in front of that, beyond that broken rail, was a great railway trestle, a bridge, and the train would plunge hundreds of feet. And he worked and he worked, and he heard the train coming. And the noise of the coming train scared him some, but then he heard a sound that even terrified him more. Because from the middle of the bridge, he heard his little boy's voice saying, Daddy, what is that noise? And in his efforts to get that rail back, he hadn't seen that his son had walked out into the middle of that bridge. And the train was practically on him. And a few more seconds and he would have the rail back, and he had to make a decision. Should I finish this and save that train and those hundreds of people on that train, or shall I rescue my son? And so as the train crossed the bridge in safety, and all the people on the train, laughing, joking, unconcerned, some in the club car, boozing it up, cracking filthy jokes, living it up, some sleeping, beside the rail, beside the track, stood a broken-hearted father. He gave his son to save a group of people who weren't even thinking about it, who didn't even know, who didn't even care. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The next verse I'll call to your attention is in the book of Job, chapter 21. This is the third verse of the four. Job, chapter 21. Beginning reading at verse 14, Job 21, 14 and 15. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. A man was visiting me from Australia. He lived in my home for about 2 weeks, and while he was there, he told me of an encounter that he had had with an old priest in Paris. And the old priest told him a story. The old priest told the story about a young man who had gone to the Cathedral of Notre Dame, and he and two of his buddies with him, they were college students and kind of cocksure, and their attitude toward religion was nothing. And they went into this great cathedral, and one of them looked at the other one and said, what would happen if we would go and make a confession to the priest? Wouldn't that be a kick? Wouldn't that be a blast to go back there somewhere and find one of those old priests and make a confession to him? So they asked among themselves, who would do it? So one guy says, I'll do it. Man, I got guts to do that. I can do that. That's no strain. So he goes back and he goes into the confessional. He sits down and he makes his confession to the priest. And the old priest is wise. And he knows it's a put-on. And so he says, all right, you've made your confession. As you know, with confession comes penance. I will give you your penance. The young man waited and he said, I want you to go out into the cathedral, get on your knees in front of the statue of Christ hanging on the cross, and look up at that cross and see the figure of Jesus hanging there, and say three times, all this you did for me, and I don't give a damn. All this you did for me, and I don't give a damn. All this you did for me, and I don't give a damn. And he dismissed him. So the lad came out. Said, well, what's the penance? Well, he told him, and they said, you're going to do it? He said, why not? Why not? So he went to the place, kneeled down, looked up at the cross, and said, all this you did for me, and I don't give a damn. All this you did for me, and I don't give a damn. And then he couldn't say it the third time, because he broke up, as Almighty God smote his heart and filled him with the consciousness of his sin and what he was saying and the hideous thing he was doing. And the old priest said, the reason I know that story is true, of course, is because I was that young college student. The fourth verse is John 8:24. John chapter 8, verse 24. Again, this is Jesus Christ speaking. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, then you shall die in your sins. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Skip Gray was reading a book of a history of the West, and he came across the story of a young man who was in prison in Kansas. And the man was in death row, and it was about time for his execution for his crimes. At the night of the execution, a well-dressed man came in, and the young guy looked at him and thought to himself, I don't need to talk to any rotten preacher. No lousy preacher is going to come here and talk to me about religion or God or all that stuff. And so he railed on the man and cursed him out and shouted him down and told him to get out and called him all kinds of blasphemous names and ran him out of the prison. And so as they were walking down to the execution, one of the prisoners looked out and said, by the way, that was not a preacher. That was the governor. He had come to give you a pardon. And so the young man's last words were, tell the people that I am dying, not only for the sin that I have committed, but for the pardon that I have refused. And if anyone in this room tonight dies in his sin, you will die in your sin, not only for the sins that you have committed, but for the pardon that you have refused. Because Jesus Christ, as the bridge over troubled waters, laid himself down for you. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He has paid the penalty for your sin, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. He died for you. And right now, in this room, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who has risen from the grave, is standing at the door of your heart, and he is knocking and asking admittance. And he is asking for the privilege to come into your life and forgive your sin and give you the gift of eternal life. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will live with him and he with me. Let's have a word of prayer. In many of the old hymn books, there's a little song that says, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And if tonight, in sincerity, you would pray that prayer, because I know that whenever we get this many people together for any reason, there are always those there who have yet have not asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior and Lord. And if you would invite him in, he would come into your life and redeem you from your sin and wash you clean right now. pray. Pray to Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I am sorry for my sin. I need a Savior. I need forgiveness. I need to be washed from my sin and given the gift of eternal life. I desire to turn from sin and follow Thee. Now, Lord, we thank You for this night when we could gather like this and speak of Thy Son. Give us grace the rest of this conference to keep our time Christ-centered. We pray in His name. Amen. So naturally, we proclaim Christ.